This past Sunday, we were working our way through 1 Samuel chapter 23, and there's an interesting story in the first half of the chapter that deals with David and his interactions with the town of Keilah. Keilah was a stronghold there in the southern parts of Judah, the region of Judah, and Keilah was experiencing an attack by the Philistines. So the Philistines had gone to Keilah, were attacking them while they were on their threshing floors, which was a real dangerous thing. It was a real dicey type of situation. David gets word of this. And the attack on the threshing floors, not only would that steal the harvest for that year, but it would also rob you of the rest of the grain that you would need to replant the fields for the following year. So attacks, threshing floors, Keilah, this was a dicey thing. So David gets word of the situation. He's got these 400 men with him. They will become known as men of valor. They're not quite that yet. It's a ragtag group, and David is like, hey, we should go and intervene. We should go and save the town of Keilah and intervene in the situation, drive out the Philistines. Well, in the process of this, his men are like, why? Like we're on the run. We don't need to like open up another front. Like our main enemy, Saul, he's pursuing us. We shouldn't waste our time. So David uses the Urim and the Thummim to ascertain the will of God again. And God's like, no, this is what you need to do. And so David and the men, they go and they do this. Well, they save the town. Saul then gets word that David is in this fortified town, Keilah, and that would give him opportunity to surround the town, to force David out, to arrest him. And so David is recognizing just with his own military background that he's in a real vulnerable place. He's been faithful to the Lord. He's obeyed the Lord. He's gone to Keilah. He's saved them from the Philistines. But now he's trying to figure out like what should he do next? Should he really be trusting the dynamic? And so he asks the Lord, you know, are you, is Saul going to come down here? And God's like, yeah, Saul's going to come down there. And then David's like, well, the town of Keilah, are they going to hand me over? Or are they going to stand behind me and protect me? Like, can I really take refuge here? And God tells him that no, they won't have his back and that he should flee. And so he flees. It was a very simple story, but it is betrayal, ultimately. David holds no retribution. He doesn't hold a bitterness. He doesn't even hold a grudge. Again, he's come to the aid of this town. Again, that should have been Saul's job, but David comes, he's led by the Lord, he's faithful to what the Lord had told him to do. His men are in lockstep, they follow him. They liberate, they save this group of people, and yet this group of people that have just been saved are going to turn on David and stab him in the back. There's lots of ministry lessons, a lot of leadership applications. But there is a psalm that David writes while experiencing this betrayal. In fact, it's Psalms 109. It is attributed to this time period. It's a lengthy psalm. Again, our intention here is not to do a full, complete exposition, but it's just to kind of get a feel of David, his heart, what's going on in his soul through the experiences and the stories that we've been looking at. In the histories. It begins again, Psalms 109, David. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Again, very easy to see the application of this psalm being connected to David's experiences there with the residents of Keilah. Again, in return for my love, they are my accusers. For my good, they reward me with evil. For my love, hatred. But in the midst of all of that, what does David declare? He says, but I give myself to prayer. You know, it's appropriate to acknowledge disappointment, to acknowledge betrayal, to be honest about the things that have taken place, and even to be real with one's emotions. Like, this hurt. Like, I came here and to care for these people, to love these people, to save these people. I've been good. But what have I gotten back? Nothing. In fact, well, not nothing. It's been worse than nothing. It's been evil. They've betrayed me. They've abandoned me. Verse 6. He says, set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let the children continually be vagabonds and beg. And let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let strangers plunder his labor. And let there be none to extend mercy. Nor let there be any favor for his fatherless children. Let his prosperity be cut off. And in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. I mean, that's pretty heavy. Can you relate? Like, have you ever poured yourself, you've put yourself out there to help somebody, and in return, you got burned? I think that's probably a very common human experience. Don't you relate to David's reaction? I mean, he's pretty hard, isn't he? But he's like, he's just being real to the Lord. Like, hey, I'm a little hurt right now. I'm not thinking real kindly about this person. I don't have great thoughts towards them. Maybe I shouldn't share these with everybody else, but you can bring them to the Lord. It continues, he says, let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers, and to those who speak evil against my person. Can you imagine if this was a worship song that we sang at church? There would be a lot of amens, hallelujah, and hand raising going on. Because this is the natural reaction when we get hurt, when we feel betrayed, when our kindness is treated back with evil. That's the thing that you love about the Psalms. And again, this Psalm in particular to this passage, again, in 1 Samuel 23 with David's own experiences. Like, we don't get this in the story. Like, David and his men, they just leave. They move on. Which is interesting, which tells us that from the Psalm, David feels this way, but he doesn't act on his feelings. Like, he takes his cares, he takes his feelings, he takes his anger and bitterness, he takes it to the Lord. He pours it out to God. He gets it off his chest. We might say he vents a little. But he doesn't act on it. Like, he leaves it there with the Lord. If the Lord wants to do something with it, if the Lord wants to carry it, the Lord can. Like, David will move along. You know, I find that venting is not a bad thing. In fact, I would encourage you to vent before you act. Like if someone's really hurt you and you're ready to just go at it. Just let them have it. And you feel like you would be justified in doing so, that no one would blame you, that you're in the right and they're in the wrong, and that's clear. That you're justified. Still, go to the Lord, vent it all to Him, and then whatever gets to the other side, go with that. And if it's not just the Lord, maybe it's a trusted friend or a counselor. Go to your wife, a confidant. But David, he's hurt, no doubt. Rightfully so. At a risk to himself, he goes to save the residents of Keilah. And yet, pours it out. That's not how he acts. And then he continues the last third of the song. He says, "But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake." He gets his eyes now off of his hurt, the people who have hurt him. "But you, O Lord, you deal with me for your name's sake. Because your mercy is good, deliver me." Deliver me from what? From bitterness? From acting in an ungodly way because of hurt? Deliver me from my feelings. For I am poor and needy. He says, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I'm shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads. This is also a messianic proclamation that has fulfillment in John 19, as well as Luke 23, Matthew 27, related to Jesus. Verse 26, "Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it." They have meant evil. You deliver me so that they can see that you have my back. "Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice. Let my accusers be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle." And then he wraps it up. Verse 30, he says, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him." Again, just the arc of this. David pours it all out. Gets it all off his chest. He vents. And then after getting it out, like whatever's on the other side of the Lord, that's what he's going to pick up. And he's asking God, "Hey, deliver me from my hurt. I want to represent you. I want to reflect you." And then he reminds himself, and you have it all under control. I can let it go. I report to you, not to them. You have all things in control. Your providence is still very, very relevant, very apt to the situation. You've got it. And why should I worry? Again, I go back, "But you, O Lord, O God, but you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me. Deliver me from my hurt." He says, "My heart is wounded. Deliver me from that wound. I want what comes out to be a blessing. You'll handle it all. I don't need to." Powerful passage. Again, giving us a deeper understanding of what David's going through, his own heart, through a betrayal. If you enjoyed this, check out our website, calvary316.tv/harmonies, /histories, excuse me. All of the Psalm of Histories are posted there, connected to the passage of Scripture. Again, Psalms 109 related to events of Psalms of 1 Samuel chapter 23. So be sure to check all that out. God bless. Thanks for joining me.